AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More than 100 people were killed in twin explosions today in Iran. The blasts occurred moments apart during a commemoration for Iran's popular general killed by a U.S. drone strike in 2020. U.S. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller at today's briefing reacting to accusations the U.S. was involved.
I do want to address some of the irresponsible claims that I have seen circulate and say that, number one, the United States was not involved in any way, and any suggestion to the contrary is ridiculous. And number two, we have no reason to believe that Israel was involved in this explosion.
In Japan, at least 73 people confirmed dead following the earthquake today. The 7.6 magnitude quake located in central Japan's Ishikawa Prefecture and Noto Peninsula. House Republicans, led by Speaker Mike Johnson, visiting the southern border of Texas today. Meantime, talks in the Senate on a comprehensive aid package continues. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The toll of COVID-19 is lessening, but the coronavirus still killed about 1,000 people in Wisconsin last year. Respiratory illnesses are spiking now, and hospitals are requiring masks again.
Admissions are up, and folks are getting sick and getting admitted to the hospital for things like COVID, influenza, and even RSV sometimes.
Dr. Jeff Potthoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health. The CDC says COVID is killing more than 1,000 people a week nationwide. Wisconsin wineries can now stay open until 2 in the morning instead of 9 o'clock at night. That's thanks to a new state law that was passed last year and took effect on New Year's Day. Wineries now plan to offer more live entertainment and private parties. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Demolition began Tuesday on the America's Best Value Inn near I-90 in La Crosse. The property was bought by Quick Trip last fall. Quick Trip plans to build a new store there, but wouldn't begin construction until at least next year. The former hotel was a frequent source of police calls. Speaking of building demolition, a La Crosse City Council committee is considering tearing down the old Macy's building to make way for 4 potential new businesses. One of the possibilities is speculated to be a Raising Cane's restaurant. If the plan moves along, work could begin at the site at the Valley View Mall in the next 4 months. 2/3 of the La Crosse County Board seats will be contested in April's election after the nomination deadline to file papers closed yesterday. 20 of the 30 seats will have 2 approved candidates. 10 others will have 1 candidate running unopposed. On the La Crosse City Council, 3 of the 6 seats in the spring election will have a contested race, with District 2 set for a February primary as 3 candidates seek to replace Scott Neumeister, who decided not to run. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmet.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see 3 steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front?
It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. It's 35 degrees at our studios.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the talk you can't ignore, even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Right to the front lines of history in the making, and it's being made every second of every day. Let's start now with the Congress. Mike Johnson, the speaker, now has one less congressman in his caucus because of the resignation of Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is no relation to Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is a Republican from Louisiana. Bill Johnson is a Republican from Ohio, and he just stepped down to take the presidency of a small college. He's going to resign January 21. That's his effective date. I'm sure right now he's not doing much, but the effective date is January 21. When that happens, the lineup in the Congress, Democrat-Republican, will be 219 Republicans, 213 Democrats. There'll be three seats vacant with Johnson stepping down. There's George Santos. They tossed him out. And, of course, there's Kevin McCarthy. Now, Bill Johnson stepping down on January 21. That means that Mike Johnson, the speaker, can only afford two defections in any vote, because that would get him down, two would get him down to 217, and that would be two more would get us up to 215. If it's 216, 216, it loses, flat out loses. Now, here is the problem. We have two dates coming up because of that continuing resolution that passed a couple of months ago. The two dates, January 19, February 2nd. Now, January 19 is the deadline to refund or continue the funding for the Department of Veterans Affairs, Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, and Energy, and also some military construction projects. The reason that was set for the 19th is people figured, well, those are probably the least controversial and the most susceptible to some kind of compromise. And I'm not so sure, quite frankly, but I'll explain in a second. But then February 2nd is everything else. And there are a total of 12 bills that are needed to fully fund the government. Everything else by February 2nd. Well, today's January 3rd, for Pete's sake. And these characters are going to be on vacation all this week. I mean, Christmas has been over. New Year's Eve has been over. They've been over. And they're still hanging around back in their home districts, not doing any work whatsoever. This Congress, this do-nothing Republican Congress, is one of the least productive in any recent history. Last year, it passed only 27 bills, and it got chewed up for a month, more than a month, in squabbling within the Republican Party of who should be the speaker. They squeezed out Kevin McCarthy, and they squeezed out Steve Scalise, then Tom Emmer, and then thankfully Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, until they ended up with Johnson, Mike Johnson. I'm going to quick go to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend, thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Who said democracy is a terrible form of government, but it beats the alternative?
Winston Churchill. It's a great phrase. Great phrase,
you're
John.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and back to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the quiz. I always need a quiz. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Why is any of this important? Because there are a couple of absolutely critical issues that are pending, absolutely critical issues. One of them is aid to Ukraine. Another is aid to Israel. Another one is beefing up the military in Taiwan. Another one is getting money into the border, our southern border, to pay agents, to add agents, to stop the influx of people just coming into the country. More than 300,000 came in December. 300,000. If that we multiply that nationwide and year wide, it would be 3.6 million a year. 3.6 million a year. Biden and I and his administration are doing everything they can to contain it. And the truth of the matter is that the Republicans right now are holding up funding for what's absolutely necessary. And quite frankly, there have got to be some changes in the law. The Congress won't agree on anything. That the Republicans want poison pills up the wazoo, and the Democrats, some are divided on it, some are not. But in any event, right now, you can't run a government if you won't fund it. You can't run a government if you won't fund it. Pretty basic. Very, very basic. Now, let me hit a few of the high points. Actually, I'll call them the low points of what the Republicans are doing. You take Ukraine. Vladimir Putin is an international criminal. He's wanted. And there's an international warrant out for his arrest for kidnapping 20,000 Ukrainian children and then beating the Ukrainian out of them, as he said. When they are some of them are finally recovered. One person described it as the fire in their eyes went out. When you seize a youngster and torment them like that, as the Hamas did with Israeli kids when they kidnapped them on October 7, as Putin did, very, very similar when he kidnapped them from Ukraine. The fire in their eyes go out. If you break the spirit of a child, you've broken their life. Vladimir Putin is a sadist, genocidal maniac, thief. He has done nothing to advance Western civilization, nothing to advance his culture or anybody else's culture, and he's a wanted man. Now, the Republican Party is standing in the way of arming Ukraine. Joe Biden has done a superb job, an absolutely superb job. He's gotten them everything he can, frequently having to go back to Congress and wheedle and plead some more. This time, they have only one objective. Their objective is to beat him for president and put Donald Trump back in. Donald Trump is an autocrat. He has fascist tendencies. He's a democracy destroyer. And yet a number of the Republicans want that. So everything they're doing in public policy, everything they're doing on voting and legislation is designed to weaken Biden by weakening America. The idea being if you weaken America, then Biden will take the rap and they can sneak Trump back in there. The latest polls are margin of error. The one that just came out showed that in a matchup, it's Trump 46%, Biden 44%. But the margin of error is like 3.6, which means that either one of them could be 3.6 higher or lower. And there are other polls that show Biden slightly ahead. But the point is, it's close. And it's close. And this is even with Trump having 91 felonies charged against him in 4 separate indictments. So what's going to happen? It seems to me that by January 19, they have got to figure out how to fund the Department of Veterans Affairs, Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and Energy, and approve the military construction projects. If they don't, remember something, this is the party that for 10 months wouldn't promote our officers, demoralize them, and we lost many hundreds of years of with early resignation of know-how and of institutional memory. But we're really trying to cover two hot wars, Ukraine and Israel's defense against the sadistic attacks by Hamas. And they did that to injure our military. And you can say, well, Tommy Tuberville did it. Nah, he didn't do it by himself. He didn't do it by himself. They could have gotten together easily and put up 9 votes to bust a filibuster. Or they could have taken him into a conference room and said, we will break your arm if you keep this up. Quite literally, they could say that. They finally said it at the end. Remember when they freed up, I don't know, 400, 380 appointments, but there were 11 flag officers, 4 stars that he held up, and they finally took him into a conference room and beat the heck out of him, figuratively speaking, of course. They could do that, but guess what? They're not doing it because they're also holding up more than 45 Defense Department, critical Defense Department positions. One, the chief of policy. Remember something. I don't care if you're a 4-star admiral or general. If you're in a combat zone, you're not operating in a vacuum. You don't have perfect intelligence. You rely on your supply chain. You rely on your information chain. And these are experts back in Washington, some of them on the ground, who advise you what to do. The Houthis are coming out of Yemen to bomb a ship. Do this. Here's what the administration policy is. They are shutting that down real sneaky because they figure the average person doesn't understand how this works. They will injure the American military, our military. It's not their military. They will injure soldiers in the field and sailors at sea who are in danger, physical danger. That's what they will endanger. So what's going to happen is the word is out of the Senate that they're very close to a deal on Ukraine and Israel and border, tightening up the border. The problem is that's going to get into the House, and you have the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Paul Gosars and the Lauren Boberts and the rest of them, and they have got to find a way to pass that. All right, coming up, should Scott Perry of Pennsylvania fall victim to Article 3 of the 14th Amendment? Coming up.
Gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of La Crosse,
Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Mifflin Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up that thought before we go on to Scott Perry in Pennsylvania. So how is Mike Johnson going to handle this? And I'm talking especially about the February 2nd deadline with all the rest of the funding, but even the January 19th. You have people in the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives who are sociopaths. You have people in that Republican caucus who hate the United States and will injure the United States, thinking they're injuring Joe Biden so they can put a fascist dictator back into the presidency. I can't be any more blunt than that. Nobody can be more blunt than that. So when you have sociopaths like that, and some people say, well, maybe there's 30 or 40 of them. I don't think there are 30, 40 of them. Yeah, there may be that many in the so-called Freedom Caucus and all that, but they're not all sociopaths. But there's a handful of them who are. And I can think of 5 or 10. And remember, Mike Johnson has now a margin of 2. Now he has 219. If he wants to be speaker and somebody pulls the rug on him, because of this rule that one character can go, well, the chair's vacant, let's have another vote. And then 8 or 9 of them can stick a knife in the guy. If that's going to keep up, that's even worse than unanimous consent and filibuster in the Senate. Because they played Kevin McCarthy like a drum, and Emmer and Scalise, and thank God they got rid of Jordan, and frankly, Scalise too, but Emmer and McCarthy would not reach out to the Democrats. Here is my counsel, and it's not liable to be picked up by anybody in the Republican Party by name, but pass this on, guys. You got to fund the government. You can't have the Ruskies going in butchering people in Ukraine, and we have to shut our government down. It's one thing to be a treason party, but it's another thing and take it up to the line and add billions of dollars in unnecessary interest payments on our national debt because our bonds are degraded in value and they're substantially the credit rating. Our credit rating has been lowered by several rating agencies because of this brinksmanship by the Republican Party. They're costing us billions a year. But always at the end, around 5 p.m. on the last day, they come around. Well, this time, here's the way to come around. When Mike Johnson put through that last continuing resolution, he got more Democratic votes than Republican votes. But there are a solid 150 or so Republican votes who will vote for sanity. And there are about 200 Democratic votes who will vote for sanity. And this time, I think it's got to be a twofer. Johnson's got to go to some Democrat whom he knows or respects, maybe somebody from his own state. Somebody knows if he gets along with Hakeem Jeffries, great. If he doesn't, pick somebody else out and open up a line of communication and say, look, we'll put through a clean resolution for all this funding. No poison pills, and we don't want any poison pills out of you. And we will fund the government. But there are a couple of sociopaths, and he doesn't have to use the word, who are going to say the chair is vacant. And I calculate that I have about 200 votes. 205 votes. I need your commitment that when the vote comes up, all of you guys just don't go, well, we want Hakeem Jeffries, knowing you're not going to get him. I need the shortfall in votes from the Democratic side, just like you did for the continuing resolutions. And to my Democratic friends, I will say this, give it to them. Quit screwing around. I don't particularly like a speaker who claims he doesn't have a bank account. I don't like a speaker who doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. I don't like any of that. But I love my country. I'm a veteran, and I want it funded. So if this guy is willing to do that, knock it off, and take the speakership back this coming November in the general elections. Now, I want to turn to Scott Perry. And, you know, this had not occurred to me, what I'm about to tell you. I don't know why it had not occurred to me. If Donald Trump can be thrown off the ballot under Article 3 of the 14th Amendment, why can't the other insurrectionists in Congress be thrown off the ballot for violation of Article 3 of the 14th Amendment? Scott Perry is an excellent target. And why is that? Scott Perry was Trump's basically hatchet man, hitman. He met with Trump in the White House frequently. He begged Trump for pardon when the thing all blew up. And he helped facilitate and execute the fake elector scheme. Yes, it was Chesbrough and Eastman who were the architects of it. But the guy who was trying to get Republican congressmen to say they were in doubt and not to vote to certify Joe Biden, that was Scott Perry. Well, I'm very pleased to say, that somebody in Pennsylvania has now brought a lawsuit to throw Scott Perry. God bless him. Throw Scott Perry. God bless the guy who brought this lawsuit. Throw Scott Perry off the ballot this coming November. And once he files, and they have a weird deal in Pennsylvania, there are all sorts of different filing deadlines. But the deadline to file in Pennsylvania is no earlier than January 23rd and no later than February 13th. So it's basically 3 weeks, real rough. And they want an injunction preventing him from filing even to get on the ballot. And they make a good point. There's a thing called the 14th Amendment. Some in the Republican Party hadn't heard about that. There's a thing called Article 3, or I should say Paragraph 3 of the 14th Amendment. It says if you engage in insurrection or rebellion and have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, you can't serve again. That means none of the Confederates who put on the gray uniform and killed Union soldiers, and even if they didn't kill any Union soldiers, they were barred. You know, the Republican Party in the 1860s was an abolitionist party. It was the liberal party. They didn't want the Confederate Army coming back into the Congress and the Senate and screwing things up. And people go, oh, but did it say anything about the president? Are you kidding me? You kidding me? How about Robert E. Lee? How about Jefferson Davis? It prevented them from running for president. Trump committed an insurrection. He masterminded an insurrection. He should be barred, but Scott Perry should be barred, and this should be applied to other Republican congressmen who are in on it. Going quick to the lines, I think we have our friend from Detroit, Michigan. I think we have Andrew of Detroit, my friend. What's on your mind today, Andrew?
Hey, Professor, bringing up this stuff again about weak Democrats. Where is Dick Durbin? Where is Sheldon Whitehouse? Now, Sheldon Whitehouse is one of the strongest senators we've got. Why aren't they doing something to get rid of your Ron Johnson out of the Senate? He's an insurrectionist and the others. This will be tougher in the House because, of course, the Republicans hold the House.
All right, Kelvin, keep Andrew on. Andrew, hold on. Do not hang up. We got to go to something quick, very, very quick. A lot of news and weather, and then we're going to be back to continue this discussion with Andrew of Detroit. I'm very interested, and I have some information to give you.
Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin
without the yelling and screaming.
These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 22 states raised their minimum wages on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More individual businesses are raising their own pay, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Scam artists are trying to prey on people who made New Year's resolutions to lose weight. The Better Business Bureau is warning about products that promise to melt, burn, or dissolve unwanted fat quickly. The BBB says they not only don't work, they can be dangerous. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Two-thirds of the La Crosse County Board seats will be contested in April's election after the nomination deadline to file papers closed yesterday. 20 of the 30 seats will have two approved candidates. 10 others will have one candidate running unopposed. On the La Crosse City Council, three of the six seats in the spring election will have a contested race, with District 2 set for a February primary as three candidates seek to replace Scott Neumeister, who decided not to run. Four people were arrested in Buffalo County Saturday on suspicion of trafficking drugs. The four people, all from Winona, were stopped on Highway 35 for a traffic violation. When the sheriff's office searched the vehicle, they found several individual wrapped baggies of cocaine and marijuana, according to a release. The driver is being recommended for a charge of OWI, while two others could face charges of possession of drugs. The fourth person could face a charge for possession of a firearm as a felon. The National Weather Service says today will be cloudy with highs around 35. Tomorrow, sunny, highs near 30. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with two rebounds, two assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmit.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see three steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. It's 35 degrees at our studios.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
The
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to resume our discussion that was cut off with Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Andrew, keep describing what's on your mind today. I think you were going in a good direction.
I was talking about Sheldon Whitehouse, Rhode Island Senator, and Dick Durbin, who's on the Judiciary Committee. And I didn't bring up Chuckie Schumer. I didn't bring up the two senators from Michigan here. Why are we voting for these people? I will be a lifelong Democrat. I've always been. But I ask myself, why am I voting for them? They don't even talk about these issues. I'm not hearing word one out of them about going after your senator from Wisconsin. This is... I don't know. Sheldon, you're doing a good job watching, you know, the ripoffs and whatever that's going on. But give me a break. If we don't have a democracy, the ripoffs don't matter. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I want to say something in defense of our senators. The people you mentioned are all excellent senators. And I'm not talking about Ron Johnson. I'm talking about Durbin, Whitehead, Chuck Schumer, and so on. But there are certain things you can do. If you want to expel somebody from the Senate, it's going to take 2/3. There's no way that you're going to get 51 Democratic votes and another 16 Republican votes. The way to do Ron Johnson is to prosecute him for the fake elector scheme. He had two sets of fake electors in his pocket, Michigan and Wisconsin. And then he did everything he could to pass them on to Mike Pence. And then he was prepared to vote that there was doubt. And then when he realized that all hell had broken loose and the insurrection was going on, and he smelled the danger. It wasn't that it was principle. He smelled the danger. Let me throw out a couple of other things. And we've talked about this in the distant past, but not recently. In 2016, when he ran against Russ Feingold, two billionaires contributed $20 million to groups that were supporting Ron Johnson. $20 million. That's because of Citizens United, and it's because Clarence Thomas cast the deciding vote, 5-4, and have been taking money from the people who were behind that particular case. Now, the minute that that money was apparent, Ron Johnson spearheaded a tax bill, and it saved those billionaires about $79 million in 2018, and it's going to save them about $500 million, half a billion dollars in taxes over the eight-year life of the statute. Now, you know, at some point when you're campaigning against a guy like Ron Johnson, these are the issues that matter. The fake electors are the issues that matter. The money from these billionaires are issues that matter. You know, the fact of the matter is, small aesthetically displeasing things, going to Moscow, Russia on July 4, 2018 and hanging out with Putin's boys 4 years after they had invaded and tortured and murdered people in Crimea. What the hell is he doing over there? What's this all about? The fake electors, the attack on democracy. As the chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security, when the Republicans had the majority in the Senate, he was asked, "Do you trust the FBI and the CIA? Our FBI and CIA?" And he said, "No, I don't." He parroted Trump. He tries to get, he's Trump's mini-me is what he is. And he has sold out the United States. And none of this came out effectively in the last Senate campaign. So the guy's reelected in 22. He's going to be in there until 2028. A lot of people lining up, sniffing around. But hey, guess what, guys? It's almost 5 years away, and it's too late, in my opinion. Well, let's talk about who's going to be on the presidential ballot. Donald Trump just appealed. He just appealed the Maine kicking him off the ballot. And the way it works in Maine, you know, a lot of people said, "Well, Matt, you know, it is sort of weird that just the Secretary of State can do it." Secretary of State can't do it by herself. She does it, required to. The 14th Amendment requires it. But then it goes up to the Court of Appeals and the Maine Supreme Court, and they'll be in the same position as the Colorado Supreme Court, and I think they will kick him off. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly on the one subject, the only reason Johnson became senator of this state again is because, I'm sorry, the Democratic Party ran a horrible campaign against him. And I'm just going to leave that one die. But I want to say this. I get disgusted at times with the Democratic left, and I don't have any time for the Republican right. That being said, one thing about the Democratic left is they usually will come on board with something that's good for the country. The Republican right will not do that. And I'm very fearful of that coming up here because there's a lot on the line. And I feel sorry for the people of Ukraine. But the scariest thing is Trump endorsed the other Johnson. So I don't know how much of his ear Johnson gets at Trump. But if it's up to Trump, he'll take him. He'll do anything to take Biden down. And that's my fear there. How much does Johnson listen to Trump? Because he actually was endorsed by him to be Speaker. And that's a very scary proposition here because, like I said, Trump knows that if he doesn't become president, he's probably going to go down for something. Because you can't tell me that I think the special investigators got the goods on him anyway. But Trump was involved in probably selling military secrets or who knows. Hey, the guy does not care about anybody but himself is what I'm trying to say. But I'm very weary of what's coming down here with the next budget. And with that, thanks for listening to me. And thanks for your show, man.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And you raised a mouthful, believe me, and I want to hit a couple of those points. First of all, when you talk about he's going down on certain things, remember with the classified documents that he leaked to our enemies, and you can't say that he didn't leak them to our enemies. He has them in a bathroom. He has them in a dressing room. He has them in a supply closet. He has them lying around. And then suddenly what? The year after that, our agents get captured and killed from our enemies. You don't think that they have people swarming all over Mar-a-Lago? They had a spy who he invited to dinner. Remember that woman? It was disclosed by a Pennsylvania newspaper. I don't know who all the maids are down there, the cooks, the waiters, who can just wander by a supply room with no lock on it and help themselves to some classified documents. Hey, he even talked to an Australian billionaire and told him how close our submarines can get to a Chinese submarine without being detected. He revealed aspects of our radar and sonar and our protections against them that were highly, highly classified. He showed a document to someone else about our plans to attack Iran. Now, are we going to attack Iran? I hope not. We don't. So far, we haven't had to. But it would be naive to think that our CIA and our Defense Department don't have detailed plans, if necessary, only if necessary, for attacking any country, especially Russia, China, Iran, all that. But to even mention that, and to show that plan to some joker who happened to be a friend of his, this guy does not care about the United States. He flat out doesn't care about the United States. And you talk about Ron Johnson, you're right. These issues were not raised in the campaign. And yeah, I do at times get pretty frosted about some of the people on the left of our party, but when it comes to the Republican Party. You talk about Mike Johnson. You're talking about the Speaker, Mike Johnson, whom Trump endorsed. Let me tell you my concern. What if he makes Mike Johnson his vice president, presidential nominee? What if the ticket going in is Trump and Johnson, a young guy with shiny eyes, no one knows anything about him? Do I want a guy with no bank account as vice president of the United States? With a guy who weighs 300, 400 pounds and You know, I don't know how long he's going to live. Are you kidding me? I don't want Sarah Palin either. And so, look, these are perilous times. And the way to handle this is get behind Joe Biden. Joe Biden is one of the best Democrats we've had in my lifetime. And I can't think of a president who is more suited with foreign policy expertise than Joe Biden. One of the lions. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Great show and great callers, as usual. You know, you and I are of different ages than, you know, the young people. And you have military experience. I have different experiences. And I'll be 69 on the 17th. I'm getting old, man. And,
you know, happy birthday.
Yeah, really. Anyway, so, you know, we come from different places. And I have to say something that's been bugging me for a really long time, so I'm going to just put it out there. And you know I got the greatest respect for you and all you do. But I do support the young Democrats, the progressives, because they are from a different place. I mean, I've learned so much from them young people. I mean, come on, look at how much they got to pay to go to college. Never in my life could I ever go to college if I was in the same situation as I was years ago. You know, and then the debt, you know, where they got their loans. We were protected with our loans. Those young people are not protected with their loans. How can they ever buy a house? How, you know, and even housing prices, costs of health care, all of these issues. And then, and I still keep thinking of when Trump took those kids away from their parents and stuck them in, you know, in those dog netting, dog fencing areas, you know, away from their mamas and their daddies. You know, many of them still haven't been reunited with their parents. Now, you know, those people were down there on their own fighting for them young kids. So I got to say, they may not, and when it counts, like Wisco Paul said, they come and they unite for our country. And they care about our country. And I know maybe sometimes they look a little differently at things. You know, I don't like Netanyahu. I'm going to say that right now. But they are our allies. We saw what happened. And we have to help protect. So, man, I just had to get that out there because it bothers me. Because I do think they care about our country, where I don't think those Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, or any of them give one iota about our country. They're self-centered, just like Trump. All they care about is themselves. And Trump wanted Trump wanted military parades for himself, even when he was in office. We need to think about that guy is scary, and multinational corporations love a man like Trump and give a lot of money to him. So anyways, lots to think about there, right, folks, because we got to care about our country and fight for it. Thank you very much, Matt. I didn't mean to go on and on, but those.
No, thank you, Gene. I love your calls always. I want to clear one thing up right now. The young people are the future of our party. The people that I'm talking about, and maybe Wisco Paul was talking about, are people on the extreme left who are anti-Semites, who hate Israel, who say, and they're on the right also. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the same and worse. But I'm talking about Ilhan Omar. I'm talking about Rashida Tlaib, and I'm talking about Jamila Priyapal, who said Israel is a racist state. They say Palestine should be free from the river to the sea to eliminate Israel. I'm tired of that kind of stuff. We're not going to permit anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party. Now, I know that that's not what you meant and I meant. I think you and I are on the same page. And when I was chairman of the party, I had a special relationship with the young Dems. And I think that I had a lot of friends among the young Dems. I agree with you that young people are the future of the party. Coming up, I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right away. But coming up, who's going to be on the Wisconsin ballot? And I'll tell you.
Down, down, and the flames went higher.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us, Mark.
Thanks for taking my call. And you bring up Mike Johnson once again, and he needs to be brought up all the time. And I don't think he's even qualified to be a representative because he fails to recognize the provision in the Constitution that expressly forbids religious tests. And if I'm correct, that the state of Louisiana, in their constitution, there is also no provision for any religious test to hold office. The man is unwilling to admit the fact that, you know, because he's come out right out and said, if you're not a Christian, you shouldn't be able to serve the government. I mean, that the man is in violation of his oath of office in that statement alone. Pure and simple, he does not understand what the Constitution says. And that's something that we all learned in probably, if not in grade school, in junior high, when we learned American history. That was one of the important things in American history, is no religious tests. That he should remember, especially as a Baptist, that the Baptists were among the groups that were persecuted by some of the Puritans in New England and driven out of that colony, or driven out of England because of their Baptist beliefs. I mean, Baptists were hung for being simply for being Baptists. I mean, as were Quakers and other religious dissenters. This man needs to get an education. Somebody needs to point out to him that how dare you suggest we need religious tests in this country when our Constitution expressly forbids it.
Right. You know, you hit the nail on the head. The First Amendment to our Constitution is probably the most profound political document in that I can think of in 1,000 years. But what do I mean by that? Having freedom of religion, no established church, which has been interpreted as meaning separation of church and state, is unheard of. It's still unheard of in much of the world, but it certainly was unheard of back then. And the right to free speech, the right to petition the government, which has been defined as the right to protest if you do it lawfully, the right to have a free press. That's an extraordinary document. And I agree with you that Mike Johnson doesn't understand that. And the concern I raised is very, very simple. Let's be real blunt. Let's be real practical. Who is Donald Trump going to take as his VP? You're not taking DeSantis. You're not taking Nikki Haley. You're not taking Chris Christie. So who's he going to take? My concern is he'll take Mike Johnson or somebody like him because he's young. He offsets the age thing. And number two, Mike Johnson is unbelievably smooth and slippery. And everything that you just described, the average person in this country doesn't even think about. They don't know anything about the guy. He leaves no fingerprints. I don't want a guy who leaves no financial fingerprints. How many people do you know that don't have a checking account or some kind of bank account and get away with saying that? It's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Okay, I want to talk now. Trump is appealing the main decision by the Secretary of State, because if he doesn't do it within a certain period of time, then her decision holds. But it's just preliminary out there. he's filed this, the appeal. It'll go to the Maine Court of Appeals. They'll do whatever they're going to do. And then it goes to the Maine Supreme Court. So there will be a response. He is shilly-shallying on Colorado. He's trying to delay everything that he can as long as he doesn't blow an appeal deadline. And so there he'll take that to the U.S. Supreme Court, and he'll try to delay, delay, delay. But how about Wisconsin? I'm sitting in Wisconsin. Who's going to be on the ballot? Well, here's what happened. There's a thing called the Presidential Preference Selection Committee. I served on it when I was the party chairman. Why is that? That's because the party chairman of the two parties and the legislative leaders, the majority leader, the speaker, and then the minority leader of the Senate, minority leader of the assembly, all sit on it. And each party can say who is going to be on the ballot. And you may think that's unfair. Well, it's possible if they don't say you should be on the ballot, that there's a way for signatures to get you on. I'll describe that in a moment. But here's what happened at the meeting. The Republicans designated the following people. They designated six people. They designated Trump, Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson, and Vivek Ramaswamy, but not the others. And there are a couple of others, some nuts out there. Not that these aren't nuts also, but I mean, I'm telling you ones that you never even heard of. The idea is that they're trying to protect Trump, and by defusing the opposition to him, like if they didn't put Chris Christie on, his supporters might vote for Nikki Haley. If they don't put Vivek Ramaswamy on, some of his supporters might vote for I don't know who. The thing also about the Republicans is winner take all. And so in their primary, on the primary ballot, if that's all there is, whoever gets the plurality gets the delegates from Wisconsin. And right now it looks like Trump by a country mile. What happened on the Democratic side, Ben Wickler, the chairman, is the point person on that, but there was also the minority leader of the House and the Senate. They only designated Joe Biden. They only designated Joe Biden. I'm glad they did. You know who they didn't designate? They didn't designate Dean Phillips or Marianne Williamson. Now, Phillips is a congressman from Minnesota, and he's kind of a bitter sourpuss type of guy. He's not going to run for re-election, I don't think. And he is attacking Biden the way the Republicans are attacking him, except he's attacking him from the side. We don't want him on the ballot. He's not legitimate, and he doesn't have support in the Democratic Party. Marianne Williamson is out of her mind. What is she doing? She has no background. She doesn't know what she's doing, so she's not going up. The Republicans immediately said, oh, you should have put them on, because it's up to the individual party, not the opposition party. So it's up to Ben Wickler and the legislators on the Democratic side. Well, why don't they look 4 years ago, guys? Because I follow these presidential preference selection committees. They're interesting. 4 years ago, Trump was the incumbent in the year 2000, and they did not put on Bill Weld, the governor of Massachusetts, former governor, and they didn't put on Joe Walsh, who's a great congressman from Illinois. So they got the picture, and this is what happened this time. And when we resume, I will tell you how the others can get on if they want, but it ain't going to be easy. Coming up, how they get on. It's getting better all the time.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15
with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.